This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our future development and the economy and a reflection by Father Enobong Udiadiong. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by Africa News Panorama. I am Festus Terawali. Pope Leo XIV met with members of the diplomatic corps accredited to the Holy See on Friday morning, just a week after his election to the See of Peter. In his address in the Clementine Hall, he encouraged the ambassadors to pursue paths of peace with justice, truth and hope. In the wide-ranging address, he reiterated that a family is founded on the stable union between a man and a woman. He also called for the rights of migrants to be respected and urged nations to halt the production of weapons and prioritize peace efforts. Francesca Mertlo reports.
Just a week after his election, Pope Leo XIV delivered his first address to the diplomatic corps in the Vatican, paying brief tribute to the outgoing dean, Ambassador Georges Pulide, and then turning to the global mission ahead.
Ringrazio Sua Eccellenza il Signore Georges Pulide.
At the heart of his message were three foundational words: peace, justice and truth, pillars, he said, not only of the Church's missionary activity, but of the Holy See's unique diplomatic presence in the world.
La prima parola è pace.
Peace, he emphasized, is not simply the absence of war, but the first gift of Christ, a dynamic and demanding reality rooted in humility, careful speech, and the rejection of vengeance. Even words, he warned, can wound and destroy. He called for renewed commitment to religious freedom, interreligious dialogue, and a decisive halt to the arms race, echoing Pope Francis's appeal.
Nessuna pace è possibile senza...
No peace is possible without true disarmament. Justice, the Pope continued, must respond to the deepening inequalities of the modern world. He urged nations to invest in families and protect the dignity of every person. Drawing then on his own experience as the child of immigrants, he stressed the need for solidarity across borders.
La sua dignità però rimane sempre la stessa.
Turning then to truth, Pope Leo warned of the distortion of reality, particularly online. Truth, he insisted, is not abstract. It is an encounter with Christ, the foundation for authentic communication and unity in addressing global challenges like migration, technology and climate change.
Il mio ministero inizia nel cuore di un anno giubilare.
As he concluded, the Pope placed his ministry within the Jubilee Year of Hope, urging a renewed global commitment to dialogue, dignity and peace, beginning with those who suffer most.
Come l'Ucraina e la Terra Santa.
Like Ukraine and the Holy Land. I'm Francesca Merlo.
European and African bishops have issued a joint statement reminding European nations that Africa does not need charity but partnership grounded in mutual respect and justice. The joint statement by the Commission of the Bishops' Conferences of the European Union, or COMESE, and the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar, SECAM, was released in view of next week's meeting of EU foreign ministers. Alvina Fernandez reports.
COMESE and SECAM point out how priorities seem to have shifted through the patterns of the past, placing European corporate and strategic aims over the real needs and aspirations of the African people. The African continent is made to put its ecosystems and communities at risk to support Europe's objectives, which the statement emphasizes is not a partnership nor justice. The statement offers many suggestions on how to better care for and respect the African continent and its ecosystem, but they emphasize that Africa does not need charity. Rather, it requires justice and a partnership grounded in mutual respect, environmental stewardship, and the centrality of human dignity. To do this, the COMESE and SECAM call for the AU and EU ministers to rise to this moment and listen more attentively to the African civil society, indigenous peoples, and freed communities, not as token participants, but as equal co-creators of policy. I am Elvina Fernandez.
As reported previously, Pope Leo XIV, in his address on Friday to members of the diplomatic corps, reaffirmed that a family is founded on the stable union between a man and a woman, and said it is the responsibility of government leaders to work to build harmonious and peaceful civil societies. Staying on that theme of family, pastoral workers in the Marriage and Family Life Ministry of the Grouping of the Bishops of South Africa, Botswana and Eswatini, have just ended their annual general meeting with a call to strengthen families in the region, as we hear in this report by Sheila Purish.
The Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference, SACBC, is taking concrete steps to strengthen family life in the region. From the 10th to the 11th of May, the SACBC's Marriage and Family Life Office held its annual general meeting at the Lumko Institute in Benoni, Johannesburg. The gathering brought together metropolitan coordinators from South Africa, Botswana, and Eswatini. The meeting opened with a workshop on Amoris Laetitia, the apostolic exhortation by the late Pope Francis. Facilitator Father Tebelo Moeti of the Diocese of Kroonstad explained that the session addressed real struggles faced by families today, such as unemployment, single parenting, substance abuse, and raising children with special needs.
One of the things that we touched, which are very important, especially for the church in Southern Africa today, like unemployment, families or single parents who are maybe having children with special needs like autism. We spoke about the issues that are faced by families like children who are involved in drugs and many other issues that faces families today. And we came up also with the solutions or what we think as things that we can do as the church to accompany these families that are facing these particular issues. So I hope and trust that these people who are here will go back and really implement these points that Pope Francis highlighted in the document and what we have interpreted according to our own culture.
The AGM closed with reports from regional coordinators and a strong resolution. Department coordinator Father Nhlanhla Nkunu told Vatican News that every parish and diocese must now establish a dedicated desk for marriage and family life.
There was a recognition that the Ministry of Marriage and Family Life is of paramount importance. Therefore, it was resolved that it needs to be taken seriously, that all parishes in the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference area should have this ministry. There must be a desk for this ministry, and also dioceses, they must come on board and support this important ministry.
As the Church in Southern Africa continues its synodal journey, the message is clear. Strengthening family life is not optional, it's essential. In Pretoria, South Africa, for Vatican News, I'm Sheila Pirish.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Chad's former Prime Minister Sacks Masra, a prominent opposition leader, was reportedly abducted from his home by security forces early on Friday morning. The abduction raises concerns about shrinking democratic space in Chad, where the government frequently bans demonstrations and restricts media organization. Over 60,000 metric tons of U.S. food aid are stuck in four warehouses in Djibouti, South Africa, Dubai, and Houston due to aid cuts by the Trump administration. This stockpile could feed 3.5 million people for a month. However, some of these supplies are at risk of expiring as early as July and may be destroyed or used as animal feed. The U.S. Agents for International Development USAID funding cuts have disrupted global humanitarian aid efforts. affecting over 120 million people worldwide. Former Gabonese President Ali Bongo and his family have arrived in Angola's capital, Luanda, after being released from detention. 66-year-old Bongo was ousted in a military coup in August 2023, together with his wife Sylvia and son Noureddin. He was taken into custody and accused of embezzlement and money laundering. The Bongos were initially held in basement cells in the presidential palace in Libreville. They were transferred to house arrest on Monday 9, with their supporters claiming they were tortured in custody. The Tigray People Liberation Front is speaking out against the decision of the Ethiopia Electoral Agency to revoke its legal status as a party due to its failure to hold a general assembly. The party, which governed Ethiopia for nearly three decades before Minister Abiy Ahmed took power in 2011, claims this ban threatens the 2022 Pretoria Peace Agreement that ended 2 years of conflict in the northern Tigray region. The Pretoria Peace Agreement aimed to restore stability, but tensions remain. You are tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
This is Development and Economy with me, Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Today, a focus on cinema and Nollywood in particular. The African film industry is a vibrant and growing sector that is rapidly expanding. The industry is experiencing growth in production driven by digital technologies and the emergence of local production and distribution models. This is the case with Nollywood, Nigeria's burgeoning film industry that emerged in the 1990s, primarily due to the advent of home video technology and the rise of video home systems, VHS. Initially fueled by low-budget grassroots filmmaking, it quickly grew into a major global cultural force, producing a vast number of films annually. The term Nollywood itself is a hybrid of Nigeria and Hollywood, reflecting its ambition and impact. In our last program, I spoke to the managing director of the Nigeria Film Corporation, Ali Nuhu, who gave us hints about the reality of the Nigerian film industry, Nollywood, and the strides it has taken to be where it is today. We hear more in this edition from Nuhu, the managing director of the Nigerian Film Corporation.
So many of the filmmakers now decided to go for capacity building. I mentioned a situation like mine. I studied geography, but eventually in the industry I had to go and do some trainings on some courses to do with filmmaking. Likewise, some other filmmakers in the various fields of directing, scriptwriting, lighting, you know, sound design and what have you. So this is partly responsible for the change you saw. And the federal government now decided to incorporate the National Film Institute. The National Film Institute has played its role because the first set that graduated from the Film Institute went to the BBC World Service Trust as interns. But after 6 months, they took over the show. There was a show that was running on HIV, an educative show on HIV/AIDS. And before you know it, they took over the show.
The Nigerians?
Yes, and they were all Nigerians. And that's because BBC felt there was no need for them to retain the European filmmakers that came and started running the show. So this is to show you how serious and dedicated and committed the filmmakers in Nigeria are. So this is partly responsible for how this stereotype was bricked. That's one. And secondly, when some of these filmmakers that were in the industry realized that there's a shift and there's a change, everybody now decided to come on board. Most people resorted to producing comedy films. But there were a couple of filmmakers who said, look, it's not just about comedy or the witchcraft kind of films. We need to pick on serious subjects. And that brought about films like 93, a film on Ebola, the Ebola incident, you know. And a couple now said, okay, fine, aside that, we can do historical films. We talk about our heroes, we talk about the historical towns. I featured in one of the films called Amina, about the first female emperor we had in Nigeria. So this together, combined, is what made Nollywood what it is today.
Now, one of the things I've touched on is the environment, the Nigerian environment. And I know that Nigeria, as a country, is known for violence, especially with those guys who are doing kidnappings and other things. I would like to know how you are interacting with that kind of culture, violent culture, and you trying to bring about awareness so that you can help in resolving the situation in Nigeria through film.
Yeah, so many films have been made on that. There's one I personally featured on. I featured in it, and it's on Amazon Prime. It's titled The Trade. It's about kidnap. There used to be a ring or a group that was into kidnapping, and the least ransom they demand is $1 million. The federal government was able, through the security agencies, they were able to arrest and persecute the ringleader. So we did a true story of that same situation. So that's one of the ways through which we create awareness. Because in the film, you get to understand that there's a racket. A group of people, some are accountants or people who work in banks. There are some that are people that just move around, get to know details of people that are rich, and they communicate to the mastermind behind the whole thing. So it's an educative movie. You get to see how this racket works and how the security agencies were able to break it. Aside that, there's this film on the girls that were abducted by the Boko Haram.
Yeah, the Chibok girls.
Yes, the Chibok girls. There's a film on it. It's on Netflix. So we do this kind of films to, you know, create awareness.
But how do you speak with the authorities? How do you challenge the powers that be?
Beautiful. There's another film called I Am a President. I Am a President is a film about politics, the irregular activities that happen during politics. The film, it's what do you call it? It's an edutainment kind of film trying to teach you how to know the right legislators to vote and how to go about the process. And after voting them into how you should communicate with them, hold them accountable for the situation in the country. We have films like that. There's another one titled Fourth Republic. These films are all on this OTT platforms, either on Netflix or on Amazon Prime or the Africa the Showcase.
I would like to find out what challenges you face as you exist as Nollywood vis-a-vis Hollywood and the Indian Bollywood.
Yes. You see, the challenges we face, one is of funding, you know. Secondly, infrastructure. These are the key things we're really concerned about. Then thirdly, you know, partnerships. And that's why the Nigerian government is going out of its way to see that it signs MOUs with different countries. We're in the process of doing that with India. We're doing it with Italy. We've already done that with France, Germany. So we're trying to do that so we can have easy access for our films to travel and for filmmakers from these places to come film in Nigeria. Yeah, because you have abundant talents in Nigeria that know this, that have this technical know-how of how films can be made. So we hope to see these people come. Sometimes there's a negative narrative that has been paraded that insecurity, blah. Insecurity is everywhere because there are countries, there are European countries you go to and you find out that somebody just takes their gun and starts shooting everywhere. That's insecurity too. But people don't see that as insecurity. So we're not saying some of these things that are being said don't happen, but they do. But they are not as they are being portrayed in the media. So these are some of the problems we're facing.
And how are you working around that?
How we're working around that is, I just mentioned to you that, one, in the line of infrastructure, our government, that's the federal government of Nigeria, under the Renewed Hope Agenda, has instituted a certain SVP, And that SVP is responsible for...
What is the meaning of SVP?
SVP is a sort of body that enables the government parastatals to be able to do partnerships with private entities, you know. So we're now allowed to partner with private entities to build cinema structures across the country so that filmmakers can have a proper distribution network. That's one. Secondly, we're seriously into capacity building and skills development programs, whereby, one, we try to see that we upgrade the standards of the stakeholders in the industry. Then on the other side, we train upcoming filmmakers along that line, because we want every filmmaker to do their thing professionally, not just like a roadside person. So these are some of the initiatives. Then we have a lot of policy reforms that are coming up. Policy reforms in the line of issues of tax credits. You know, that is one of the things that we can use to entice filmmakers across the globe to come to Nigeria and invest.
Managing Director of the Nigerian Film Corporation, Ali Nuhu, talking to me at Vatican Radio during his recent trip to Rome about Nollywood, the realities on the ground and the strides it has taken to be where it is today. And that is all we have time for in this edition of Development and the Economy. Until next week at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
Coming up next, a reflection on this Sunday's readings, prepared and presented by Father Enobong Udaidyong.
When we look at the readings of the Sunday, we continue to see the relevance of the resurrection of Christ, who invites us to love. By his death, Christ destroyed our past. By rising from the death, he gave us a new beginning. A new beginning that brings to mind the foretaste of the glory of God, who has reconciled us to himself. The manifestation of this newness is seen when every Christian, aware of the precious price paid for our salvation, strive to keep alive the new commandment of love given us by Christ. He endured all the sufferings because of love, and he invites us to love one another as he loved us. There is no other way to love than to make sacrifices. There is no greater love than the love that Christ showed to us. He sacrificed his glory and divinity to become man like us. He sacrificed his majesty to become poor. He accepted to sacrifice his life for our salvation. Therefore, he has been glorified and God is glorified in him. There is so much that love can do for us in our world today. If we are to take to heart the invitation of Christ in the Gospel reading of this fifth Sunday of Easter, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By these all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Every aspect of our Christian life is founded on love. Devoid of love, we lose the value and worth of our very existence as Christians. It is love that distinguishes us and makes us unique as a people. We do not just love as others do, but we love as Jesus did. This means that if our love is not orientated towards sacrificing for the good of others, then it lacks the value of love as taught by Christ. This Sunday, history is made as Pope Leo XIV begins officially his pontificate through the solemn inauguration of his patriarch ministry. In line with the teaching of Christ, the Holy Father in his post-election messages continues to call on all and sundry to seek after lasting peace, unity, and harmony. There can never be any meaningful disposition for peace if we are not open to the commandment of love as given by Jesus Christ in the Gospel reading. How will we be Christ-like if not through the love we share? The good disposition to make sacrifices for the good of each other and, importantly too, striving after peace is motivated by love. It is love that gives birth to a just society, and it is love that sustains it. When a Christian is born anew in the water of baptism, he or she becomes a new creature in Christ. And so, as Christians, our motivation is love. If love does not motivate our actions, then we are still in the past. We cannot avoid this call to love if we must necessarily be among those who will dwell in the holy city. We begin here on earth to savor the sweetness of the new heaven and the new earth. How can we be able to talk of the new heaven and the new earth if we do not sow the seed of love in our families and communities? The rate of hatred, violence, and destruction we see daily in our society makes the call to love very important. Without love, we cannot grow. Without love, we cannot comfortably live in peace. Christianity devoid of sacrifice and love does not represent the mission for which Christ made the greatest sacrifice for and has been glorified. Can we, as Christians, in keeping with the command of Christ and the invitation of the Holy Father Pope Leo, be peacemakers and sow the seed of love wherever we find ourselves, because by these everyone will know that we are his disciples. And so let us pray for the grace to love as Christ did. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
And that was a reflection by Nigerian-born Father Enobong Udiadiong. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.